Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
And here we go, Digital Adele back with another Digital Adele Hoops Beyond the Backboard podcast for you with my co-host, Matt Hanifin. How are you doing today, Matt?
Doing good, man. I'm doing good. How about yourself?
I am doing fantastic. Just a little busy, running here, running there, trying to eat tacos, but they're going to have to wait. This podcast is way too important for tacos. But anyway, we are here today to talk about how deep the 2026 NBA draft class is perceived to be. And we knew coming into the season that it was going to be a good one, but I never in my wildest dreams had this many prospects on my radar this early in the process. How do you feel about 2026 NBA draft class in terms of depth and breadth? Even though we haven't watched them all, just the eyeballs we're having to commit.
I'm trying to temper expectations a little bit because of who some of these guys are playing. But like, if you look at guys like Caleb Wilson, for example, he was someone who, like, when I watched Kansas, North Carolina, I was like, whoa, like this dude was like popped off the page. Obviously, Coah Pete, we talked a little bit about his debut last pod.
Against a very, very good opponent.
Yeah. Nicholas, who was someone that we kind of discovered evaluated the end of last draft cycle. He's playing now for Virginia Tech. He was playing overseas beforehand. He was someone that really stood out in his first kind of week at Virginia Tech. Who played Princeton, right? Yeah.
Providence. Yeah, they played Providence.
33 points, 13 of 23 shooting, 5 of 8 from 3-point range. Then you just go on down the list, like LeBaron Filon. Acuff was a guy that you liked a lot. I still have to get my eyes on him. Bennett Sturts was someone who, he was at Drake last year, and now he's at Iowa.
One of the older prospects in this very young draft class.
Like Bennett. But he was someone who's been like really good so far, even though the competition I think he's faced hasn't been as good. Mikael Brown, Nate Amend, who I saw a little bit of him in the Duke exhibition. AJ DeBanza, who, you know, is kind of penciled in as a top three pick as of right now, just from the consensus. He played Villanova last week. So all of these guys, for the most part, have had really good weeks. And I'm not even mentioning, none of that's like an order in terms of how I feel about those prospects.
Right.
Let me just make that clear. But just some names to note in terms of, you know, players who had really good games. I think I mentioned Mikael Brown.
Mikey Brown Jr., dude, that kid, he's so good. Like, he's so far advanced compared to where Jeremiah Fears was last year. Now, you've talked about it. Fears reclassified. So it does make a lot of sense. He's a little bit.
Yeah.
They're about the same age.
I believe so. Yeah.
Yeah. They're about the same age. But one thing I was going to say, we didn't even mention a lot of the older guys from the draft class that withdrew, like Keyshawn Hall, for example, at Auburn. He's been a machine just getting to the foul line, scoring. Tahad Pettiford hasn't played well to start the season, but I don't really have any reservations about him getting better. You've got Yaxel Lindenborg. He's struggling to start the season, but he's another older guy. And you have, you know, I'm interested tonight. Tonight, Kentucky plays Arkansas. So you can see Mikey Brown Jr. versus Atega Owe and Jaden Quinnitz.
I forget what I think
it's like. Yeah, there you go. That's it. 6'10", 255. Good defender. Dash Daniels out in New Zealand. Dyson Daniels' brother. Defensive dog. Can't wait to see how he develops. I keep hearing about Kareem Lopez. Haven't seen him play yet. He's going to be towards the end of our evaluation process. But the list just keeps going on and on and on and on. One thing I wanted to say about the Greek dude. Yeah, for now. The one thing I want to say about the Greek dude, which I don't know how to pronounce his name, so I'm going to call him Neo. Neo from the Matrix. He's very streaky. He had a phenomenal game. The separation he creates, the athleticism, but also he's been a pro. Like, if you look at his body from last year, from the end of the combine until now, my man's got a completely different body. Like, he's rocked up for a college dude. He's like a man amongst boys. And considering he played against grown men for most of his life, makes a lot of sense. But he's really streaky. So, like, he had one really good game, which was the 33-point game you talked about. The game before, he had, like, 8 points. So, like, I just want people to temper their expectations. They're like, oh, who's he remind you of hinting at Luka? Who's he remind you of hinting at Luka? My man gets to the foul line, like, 4 times a game. Like, Luka would go to the foul line, like, 45 times in college. Like, if he had went to college instead of going to the NBA. But that being said, there's a lot to like, a lot to work with, but let's just temper our expectations a little bit, shall we? Oh, we forgot to mention Tonde Yesufu as well. Tonde Yesufu is another one. He's got a, you know, he's had a rough start in terms of figuring out the flow at Baylor. But even with that, he's still averaging 18.5 points a game, 6 rebounds, 1.5 assists, 2 steals. He puts in the work on the defensive end. And that leads to buckets, just being around, getting the boards, putting it back. Eventually, he's going to figure it out in terms of where they need him in the flow. But you had some prospects you wanted to talk about. Who's caught your eye that you wanted to talk about?
First, this was a player who I can't say I was like overly high on the last draft cycle or previous draft cycles, rather. But someone who really stood out to me in the North Carolina Kansas game, Henry Vasar.
Oh, yeah. I was watching that game and I was like, that's Matt's guy.
Well, it's not my guy. I was, again,
you liked him a lot, man. You liked him a lot last year.
I did not.
I remember you talking about you liked him. Maybe I'm misremembering.
I was not brain is old. I was not a big Vasar guy, at least if memory serves.
We're going to have to check the tape.
He was someone who did like stand out in this game. I still have questions like,
for sure.
Particularly like his physicality and his rebounding for his size.
Right.
I thought he was like solid defensively in that game. He was obviously good, you know, vertical spacer.
Yeah,
he was the recipient of several lobs in that game. You probably can't count on one hand how many lobs he caught.
Yeah.
He knocked
down
a big
couple
of
front
threes.
Line across the board with him and Caleb together.
Yeah. Like, and he hit a couple of threes. Like, he's never been a particularly great 3-point shooter. Like, he's been
right.
He kind of plays like he wants to be a pick and pop five or a stretch five. But the efficiency hasn't always been there for him. But he was someone that stood out, and I'm interested to track his development. I want to touch on Wilson really quick because this was the first time I've got to see him, and he was unbelievable. I thought he was like really good defensively, diving for loose balls. His fluidity and his coordination at his size at 6'10", 215 was something that really was impressive. Like, he covers so much ground too. Like, he's someone who like he'll take one or two dribbles from the 3-point line and he'll be like at the rim like that. That's how big of strides he actually has. He was getting to his spots really easily. I thought he was a pretty good connector. Like, he was making the right decisions. The rebounding was good.
Absolutely.
At least I thought.
Yeah, it was.
The motor was something like, the motor was, you know, running hot, you know,
yeah, nonstop.
Yeah. And then like, you obviously, I'm sure you've seen it. The quotes that went viral after the game about like he's trying to piss himself off after every or before every game, changing his phone background. And then you remember, you know, the McDonald's All-American game where he, I think, only took like 4 or 5 shots with
he said Peterson, no one honestly. Passed him the ball the whole game. He got his shots off of like rebounds.
But even then, like he was like, yeah, I'm trying to piss myself off because, you know, Darren Peterson didn't pass me the ball.
Yeah.
Which I think is like a super cool like motivation factor. Like he really like gives a crap. Yep. And so that again, like just how he moves, the shot making, specifically from inside the arc, his ability to get to his spots. I thought the handle was okay, a little loose, but
yeah, he needs a lot of work on his handle. Very linear. He just goes straight.
Right.
That's how his handle basically is.
But like for someone who's 6'10", like someone who I didn't expect to have that much those kinds of ball skills.
Right.
It was a pleasant surprise. Again, there's improvements to be made. You got to get stronger too. I mean, he's still
for
fairly
sure.
thin, but like I don't have any problem with that right now. He completely dominated that game.
And when he goes up to dunk, he goes up with ferocity.
Oh, he's freakishly athletic.
Yeah, and but he's coming with power too.
Yeah,
like he's trying to rip that freaking rim down. I love it.
Yeah, he was someone that really stood out. Obviously, we touched on Peterson before. It was kind of weird how they were using him. Like it was a lot of.
Well, they got problems with their roster. They have problems with their roster, and so he's not really a point. He's more of a combo guard, but he needs to have the ball in his hands for them to be successful. They can't keep putting him off ball. They don't have anybody good enough. And it was a very difficult game for the other guys because Seth Trimble, I mean, he broke his arm or whatever, but he was outstanding.
He was good. He was really good. And he's always been a good defender too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so it was very difficult point of attack for those Kansas guards and wings to handle the ball. So Peterson's going to have to be that guy for them. He's going to have to play a little out of position.
Yeah, and like a couple of other guys that stood out, but guys that I just want to track over time, whether it's this class or future classes. Obviously, we've talked about Badunga. Bryson Tiller, I think he had 4 or 5 first half threes. He's someone who can shoot. I don't know why, but when I've watched Kansas, not that this guy has been like overly productive, but like his energy, someone that I like is Cole Rosario.
Okay.
His shot in the games that I've watched has just been all over the place.
Yeah.
Mostly bad, but
right.
He seems like more of like an energy guy.
For sure.
Trey White, Melvin Council, and then there was someone else on North Carolina. Oh, I mean, Kyan Evans was someone who I watched a ton. I find a way to get this guy's name into every podcast. Former teammate of Neat Clifford.
There it is. The Nevada bias. The Mountain West bias. But it always goes back to the
Yeah, Kyan Evans was someone who I watched a lot. He was awesome last year for Colorado State. He transferred over, and he's been one of their lead guards. So I'm interested to see how that tracks, especially with Trimble being hurt. What were your thoughts on AJ?
AJ DeBonsta? So AJ's raw, man. He's got a lot of work to do. He prefers going left, even though he's right-handed. He goes left like 95% of the time. Even when he goes right, he always takes a dribble back to his left before he finishes with his right hand. It's weird. But I get it. He's going to learn. He's very raw, though. Like I said, he doesn't have a lot of polish to his game. But he's got really good instincts, super athlete, long. He's got a lot of work to do on the mental side of the game defensively. Like Darren Peterson, miles better in the passing lanes with anticipation and just diagnosing plays.
He does the Jimmy Butler thing where like he'll sneak up behind you and poke the ball away from you when your back's turned.
Absolutely. That. Darren Peterson does that naturally. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. DeBonsta's got to box out a little bit more, even though he's averaging 7 rebounds. It's basically because he's a freak athlete. Like he just outjumps everybody. But I like him a lot, man. Him and Peterson are 1 and 2 in my mind so far in terms of talents. We got a long way to go though, you know, long way to go.
Yeah.
But, I like him. I don't think he's overhyped. Somebody compared him to RJ Barrett. I don't see that. his facilitation, I'd like to see him pick that up a little bit more, especially against tougher competition, get his teammates involved, get that you know, because they got a lot of older guys around him at that BYU team. Like to see those guys get involved. Koa Pete, man, he put together another really good game. He's averaging 24 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists. That's the big thing that's surprising about Koa Pete's game. He's averaging 4 assists per game, shooting 68% from the field. A little undersized, but the way he moves and his feel around the basket's outstanding.
I mean, are you talking like undersized for a 4 or 5? Like what? He's because he's 6'8", 240.
Well, for 4 and a 5. Like if he was a 5, for sure. But yeah. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. And for a 4, really. Nah, he's a big dude. He's not.
I was gonna say, like, he's 6'8", he's a big 240. Dude. Like he's
I have him over Boozer. I got him over Boozer off of 2 games for me. Like what he brings to the table, I like more than what Boozer brings to the table. Like, and let me explain it this way. Boozer to me is the safest pick in this draft. You know exactly what you're gonna get from Boozer.
Safest. I don't know if I'm there.
I'm not saying the best, the safest. Like, if you want a guy that you know what you're going to get, like, you know what you're going to get, it's Carlos Boozer. Carlos, oh my God. Cam Boozer. You know you're going to get physical play, you're going to get rebounding, leadership, and he's a terrific passer. No matter what happens, you know that's what you're getting from him, regardless of where he goes. That's my opinion. Darren Peterson's the best player in this draft.
See, that's so my safest because I know what I'm getting from Darren
because Peterson. He's the best player.
Yeah, because it's like, you know, you're getting like a high degree of shot making. Obviously, you know, the efficiency may be, it's not going to be perfect every night, obviously, but you're still going to be getting a high level defender, especially off the ball. You're going to be getting, you know, a pretty good processor, pretty good passer, especially when he's in like ball screens and whatnot. Like,
right.
To me, I think he's just the safest in that respect.
But he also has like the highest upside.
Exactly. But I'm saying, like, you know, you're going to be getting those kinds of skills that are already above average to like really, really good.
Dude, he's already such a high-level prospect already. It's unbelievable.
He's unbelievable. So, like, that's where it's like, if I'm choosing, if I'm making a safe bet between Boozer and Peter, I'm just taking Peterson.
Yeah.
And that's not a knock on Boozer. I thought Boozer's game against Texas, that might be one of the worst games he'll play all season.
Yeah, it was rough.
But
he still ended up with, like, a bunch of boards, leadership, good passing. He still did all those things.
Yeah, and, like, again, as I briefly mentioned on our last episode, I'm a little concerned about the athletic limitations, but he's also someone who, like, I just will trust. I'm going to trust over time that he'll figure that out at 6'10", 250. Like, I just think he's, and to your point, there's a high floor. So it's like,
very high floor. Yeah. Here's my question to you, and it's very early in the season, so I won't hold you to it at the end of the season, obviously. We're going to play a little pick 3. Kidding. That's right. I'm going to dangle it over your head. A little pick 1 out of the 3. Boozer, Caleb, Koa. Who you got?
Right now I would take Caleb Wilson probably. But it's,
I'm not mad at you. I'm not mad at that. And then what's your 2 and 3?
It just depends on like what I need. I mean, I guess if I'm a top 3 pick, I probably need a lot.
So right, it's like, right. What's your 2 and 3?
Boozer and Pete.
Oh, so you got Boozer over Pete.
It's so close. Like, it's not. Koa was awesome.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I was just surprised myself by it because my 3, it's Caleb, Koa, Boozer to me.
Yeah, there's arguments for that, too.
Yeah.
Right now.
And the reason why I like Koa, he's more of a fluid mover than Cam Boozer. Much more fluid mover. I think he's got a better touch around the basket. Does a little bit more for you offensively. Now, Caleb's a little more rugged. Cam's a little more rugged. He's a little bit stronger. He's going to be that leader rah-rah guy. Now, I don't know about Koa's leadership. I haven't seen that yet, but he seemed pretty poised for a freshman in a couple of games I saw.
No doubt.
But it's very close. Don't you think it's a very difficult, not a very difficult, but a very close eval on all these guys so far?
Yeah, and like, maybe I'm wrong with like the measurements and whatnot, but Cam and Koa seem like they have like similar body types. I know they're not the exact same
they
height
do
the exact same way, similar. But like they're big, like big muscular, burly players. I think the thing with Cam though is I think he's going to shoot it better.
He might shoot it better, but I love the mid-range touch that Koa has and the touch around the basket. I think
his mid-range touch was very good again in that Florida game. No doubt.
Absolutely. So I don't think he's going to have an issue shooting the ball. But I do think Cam has focused more in his development on a three-point shot already.
Yeah, so and that ball, I don't know if you, that ball hangs up there forever when he shoots.
Listen, he shoots it like his dad. Have you seen his dad shoot?
We're now getting to the stage where it's like, all right, players that I watched growing up, they're now having kids who are playing college basketball, and I'm only 25 years old.
You're getting old, Matt.
I'm getting old.
I'm still young. You're getting old.
Like, no, that's not Kyan right. Anthony's playing. I don't know, like, if he is going to be a high-level prospect, but Kyan Anthony's playing. It's like, all right. Like
this. So I've seen him play. He's got a bag, man. He's got a bag to him. But I don't know if he's going to be nearly as good as Cole Anthony. Like, he's a good player. He's got some talent, but he's... I don't know. The jury's still out on how I view him. But it just goes to my point. We're 24 minutes into the show, and we've just now mentioned Carmelo Anthony's son for the first time. That's how deep this draft class is.
There's one more player I want to get your thoughts on, or at least like if you like based on what you've seen this year versus last year. Isaiah Evans.
Isaiah Evans. So I haven't really... he's still, to me, the same guy.
Okay.
He's going to come in. Yeah. He's going to shoot it very well, which he did in the Florida game. Or not the Florida game. Was it Florida game? What game was it?
Texas.
Texas game. Yeah, in the Texas game. He shot it very well. He's got a lot of confidence. Like, he just oozes confidence on the offensive end. His defense leaves a lot to be desired for me. But he is getting to the free throw line this season. That's a big thing for me. If you look at him, he's averaging so far to start the year 5.5 free throws a game. Even though his 3-point shot, he really hasn't hit it.
Like, I mean, he hit it against Texas.
He did against Texas.
The second game they played, I don't know who it was. It was like whatever university. No disrespect to whoever that university actually is, but he's 5.
And that comes down to just consistency. Like being ready every single time you go out on the floor. But to me, he's the same guy. I haven't seen a lot of improvement from him. What about you?
To me, he looks like he's gotten bigger. One thing where it was like...
Nah, a little bit.
Well, yeah, just he's making progress.
Yeah, he's making some progress.
Steps in the right direction. And to me, I don't know, like it felt like there was more... This is, if memory serves... Of course, but there's just a little more juice on the ball.
Yeah, he didn't have any juice at all last year, though. So
he didn't.
Not saying much.
Right. That's exactly where it's like, I don't know if, I mean, he may ultimately be like, I think in my head, to your point, he kind of still is the same guy, but like there's very marginal improvements.
Right.
And this, again, one game sample from.
Exactly. We got a long way to go. Long way to go.
You know, very different by the time the season ends. But just something to take note of as time goes on. Because if he stays in this class, based on what I've seen so far, he might be one of the better shooters.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I mean, there's some good shooters. Like, you haven't seen Acuff yet. You haven't really seen Mikey Brown Jr.
I've seen a little Mikey. But
a little bit. But he can really shoot that thing, too. Like... This is what, and the measuring stick I have for those two guards is Jeremiah Fears. Because Fears, if you remember early in the process, he wasn't really a good shooter.
I was going to say, he's still not that good of a shooter.
They are better than him at that already. Already, they're better shooters. Both of them, Acuff and
especially
Mikey.
Or off the dribble too?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely, man. Freaking, yeah, wait till you watch these dudes, man. They're very impressive. Especially Mikey, because he runs the show like a freaking vet. Like, he runs like a vet.
And his dribbling and ball handling is something that I've liked a lot from the limited amount that I've seen from him.
I'm intrigued by Acuff's above the neck game, because I don't know if it's demeanor. I don't know if it's the way they're using him, but it just seems like they're taking a lot off of his plate and letting him play off ball. And they're like, get in and slash. We'll let somebody else run the offense. Like, he's not really running that offense. Not Mikey Brown, but Darius Acuff. But it's just something to monitor. I'm not saying he doesn't have basketball IQ, but it's just giving me those Cam Whitmore vibes. Not to that extent. I don't want to put that on the young man. But I know you got to get out of here. Matt, you got a hard out at 7 o'clock. We're here every Tuesday and Thursday, people. Like, subscribe on YouTube. If you're listening in the car, make sure you favorite or give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Whatever, wherever you listen to podcasts, you can find us. Matt, tell the people where they can find you, follow you, and get more of your work.
You can find me at NPH_824_ on Twitter. You can find me at hotonhoops.com, vendettasportsmedia.com, mountainwestconnection.com, as well as Orlando Magic on SI. You can find me on playback.tv/5RSN, where we did watch the Miami Heat have a pretty cool game winner game.
How about and those Miami Heat?
Playback.tv/digitaladelhoops.
Where we're at right now. And you can find me, Digital Adele, anywhere social media is found under that same moniker, on Instagram, digital_Adele. And that is all we got for today, people.